This is Don Esposito, and welcome to Search the Scriptures. And that's exactly what we are going to do today. We are going to search the Scriptures, because when you look at the world out there, and the Apostle Paul talked about this, in the end time, there'll be all kinds of heresy and people going to their own understanding and not following Yahweh's true servants and teachers, but going to their own knowledge of things themselves. And we're seeing it. We're living in the most prophetic time the world has ever known. The book of Daniel talks about Daniel 12. People will be running to and fro and knowledge will be increased. And we are seeing the increase of knowledge like never before in the history of mankind. But today what I want to talk about a subject in the time that we have. The most important subject of all Scripture. Who is the Messiah of Israel? Because there's only one answer to the world's problems. The answer is not the United Nations. It's not a world figure that's going to be president of some country who's going to come back or come up and solve all the world's problems. We see that is not working. But there is a person who came to this earth almost 2,000 years ago. Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, and Yeshua is the Savior's real name. The name Jesus is a hybrid that comes from the Greek. We have messages and radio programs on this. If you want to, you could look online at www.cohwh.com and go in the radio section, and you'll see that about the name of Yahweh, the Creator, and the son of Yahweh, Yeshua, his son. And the name Yahshua literally means Yahweh's salvation. The book of Hosea or Hoshua means salvation, and Yahoshua is Yahweh's salvation. So I want to talk about this most important subject, because I know in Western society that is supposedly a Judeo-Christian society, it's taken for granted that people will say, oh yes, I believe in Yeshua, whom they call Jesus. But have you ever proved it to yourself? Because we know there's a time coming when a man of sin will arise, an anti-Messiah. And if you look at anti-people, think, oh, he's anti-Messiah. He's the devil. He's against everything that Yeshua is there. But actually, the word anti means in the place of. So it doesn't mean necessarily against, but it's somebody that's in the place of. Somebody who has taken the place of our Savior. And that's why I believe the name of Yeshua is so important, because it tells us about who he is and what his mission is. But if someone comes in another name and there's a false Messiah who's going to come on the scene and claim maybe to be quote unquote Jesus, but yet bring a whole different message than what Yeshua actually brought. And today you see a message that is about the personage of the son of Yahweh, but not about the message that he brought, because he brought a message about Yahweh's soon coming kingdom, and in coming programs we are going to talk about that wonderful message and what that means. But today, I just want to scratch the surface in a 30-minute program. That's all we can do is scratch the surface. Maybe we'll even do several programs on this most important subject. But I wanted to show you what the Bible prophesied in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, which it is called, of who this person was and what he was supposed to do. So in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, it says, Yahweh your Elohim will raise up to you a prophet from among you, of your brothers one like me. You shall listen to him. So here it is that Moses is writing this, and Moses is clearly saying, there will be a prophet that's like him, a prophet that is like him, and they are to listen to him. So we see that Yeshua and Moses were similar in many different ways. They were both deliverers. They were both redeemers. They were both prophets. There were many, many similarities between the two of them. And Moses delivered the people out of Egypt, and we look in the New Testament and we see that Yeshua delivered the people out of spiritual Egypt, which was their sins in their life. And what many fail to realize is, during the days of the apostles, you know, Yeshua was impaled and crucified on a tree in the year 30 AD. And yet, what we know as what became the New Testament did not become an organized book until early 2nd century. There were letters, yes, the letters of the epistles of Paul and Peter and the other ones that were being circulated. But as a organized, bounded book, that did not come until the early 2nd century, maybe late 1st century. We don't know for sure. But we do know one thing. We do know when the Apostle Paul and Peter and the brother of Yeshua, Jacob, was out there preaching, and the 12 apostles, of course, that there was, they weren't preaching from a New Testament. They were preaching from what? They were preaching from what we know today as the Tanakh or the Old Testament. In Acts 28, the Apostle Paul clearly goes into this. And if we look at the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 28, and it says in verse 23, "And having appointed him a day," talking about Paul, "more came to him in the lodging, to whom he expounded earnestly, testifying the kingdom of Yahweh and persuading them the things concerning Yeshua, both from the Torah of Moses and the prophets, from morning until evening." So that was what they were using. So the first thing we have to realize is that Yahweh's word, the what people call the Old Testament, and I don't like to use that, the word in Hebrew is Tanakh, and this radio broadcast is coming to you from the Holy Land, from Israel, where we are based over here for the last more than 15 years. So I'll teach you a lot on Hebrew sayings and words and what they mean, so you can get the proper analysis from it. But we see that from the word of Yahweh, the Tanakh, and when people will call the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, people will make the statement that the law, they'll translate it as law, and they'll say the law is done away with and this kind of thing. But it is impossible for Yahweh's eternal law to be done away with. And the word Torah literally means instruction. So it means instruction for life. So Yahweh's instruction would never be taken away from his people. And right out of that Tanakh, you know, which is the Torah, the prophets and the writings, it's broken down into three sections. The Torah being the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then you have the prophets, the different prophets, minor and major prophets. And then you have the writings that also make up the whole Tanakh or Old Testament. And in there are roughly 300 different messianic prophecies that tell us exactly who this Messiah is going to be and what he's going to do. So I want to read that to you today. I want to start here in Isaiah 42. And start where it says, "Behold my servant, I will support him, my elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets." Yeshua was not like some of these people you see today, out on a corner with a megaphone, screaming at everyone, begging them to change or follow what they're saying. No. Yeshua had such a presence to him. He was like a commander, and his words that he spoke just made people freeze in their steps, like we see with Matthew, the tax collector, as Yeshua is coming into Capernaum. And just the look of Yeshua to Matthew, and when he said, "Come, follow me." And Matthew left everything and came, "Follow me." And do we realize the power of the words of Yeshua, the power of his presence being filled with the Holy Spirit, how it touched people? And that's what this is saying here in Isaiah 42. Verse 3, "A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking wick he shall not quench. He shall bring forth justice, the truth. So he's a very, even though he's powerful, and even though he has authority on all heaven and earth, we see a bruised reed he shall not break. He's very gentle also. You know, a bruised reed, he's not crushing down. He's very gentle because he doesn't want to lose anybody. And his heart is there to bring redemption to all that come. A smoking wick he shall not quench, the same thing. As a wick that's just smoking there, that it can come back and light, but if you go the wrong way with it or blow on it, it's going to go out. So it's showing his compassion and how much love he has for his people. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be crushed until he has set justice in the earth, and the coast shall wait for his Torah. See, apart from what many in Christianity will tell you today, that the law is nailed to the cross, which you don't get that from Scripture. It doesn't say that your sins are nailed to the tree of crucifixion. The Torah was never done away with. Yeshua never came to do away with the Torah. And actually, justice at the throne of Yahweh on Justice Day comes from what? It comes from the Torah. Revelation 20 tells us that the books are opened. Those are the books of the Bible. And the people are judged according to their works. Yes, I said it. You will be judged according to what you do. Now granted, your works will never get you into the kingdom of Yahweh, because our works have got us death. Every single person that ever lived, except for Yeshua Messiah himself, has committed sins worthy of death. And it's only by him coming and paying the penalty for your sins that opens up that door for you to go into the kingdom. But once you're in that door, once you enter the kingdom, where you will be for eternity absolutely depends on what you do today, until either our Messiah Yeshua returns, or you die and you sleep and you're waiting in the grave until he comes. So clearly, of course, Yahweh is going to reward us according to what we do. Now, like I said, don't get me wrong. Entrance into that kingdom is 100% by his mercy and his grace, because none of us qualify to enter that kingdom, because each of us have done things worthy of death. But once you are in, where your position will be in that kingdom for eternity has everything to do on what you do. The parable of the talents. Man went away to a far country, talking about Yeshua going to heaven, and he gave them some five, some three, some one, right? Different amounts. And then when he came, he said, "What did you do?" And the one that had five made ten, the one that had two made four, but the one that had one, he hid it and did nothing with it. And the little he had was taken away from him and given to the one who had ten. So we see that with the Holy Spirit that's given through proper baptism and laying on of hands of an ordained elder of Yahweh, that when you receive that Spirit, what you do with that Spirit and the fruit you produce certainly will depend on where you are for eternity. So the Torah cannot be done away with, because the Torah is the basis for the decisions we make in life. And a matter of fact, according to the very scriptures that we're reading, if a prophet does come, and if he were to do away with the Torah, even if he did miracles, he would be considered a false prophet. Let's read it. It's in Deuteronomy 13, starting in verse 1. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder which he spoke to you occurs, saying, "Let us go after other Elohim, which you have not known, and let us serve them." And Elohim is the biblical Hebrew word that people use for G-O-D, for God. In the Hebrew, the proper word is Elohim. That's the one we use. "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams." So if a prophet comes and is trying to have them go away from Yahweh's Torah and serve somebody else, he says you're not to listen to him. "For Yahweh your Elohim is testing you, to know if you will love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall fear him. And you shall keep his commandments, and you shall hear his voice, and you shall serve him, and you shall cleave to him, And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall die because he has spoken apostasy against Yahweh your Elohim, who is bringing you out of the land of Egypt and has redeemed you out of the mouth of slaves to drive you out of the way in which Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you to walk. And you shall put away the evil from among you. So very, very clearly that even if somebody came and did the miracles that Yeshua did, if they turned people away from the Torah, then they would not be considered the Messiah of Israel. As we read in Isaiah 42, the Messiah Israel is not turning people away from the Torah, but like it said in verse 4, and all the coast shall wait for his Torah. He's redeeming the Torah. Other scriptures in Isaiah said he will make it honorable again, because that's what he came to do. When we look in Matthew 5, in verse 17, is Yeshua saying he's doing away with the Torah? Absolutely not. Let's read it. Do not think that I came to annul the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until the heaven and the earth pass away, in no way shall one yod or one stroke, that's talking about the tiny little vowel marks in the Hebrew, pass away from the Torah until all comes to pass. Therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them the Torah, the commandments, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, if your righteousness shall not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, never. See, it's got to not only be in the letter, it's got to be in the spirit, it's got to be in your heart. But by far, out of his own mouth, Yeshua said, he did not come to do away with Yahweh's Torah whatsoever, but to fulfill it, to magnify it, to make it larger. And then he went on to say what he, to explain that. He said, the Torah says, you shall not murder. But I say, if you get angry with your brother, you've already murdered him. The Torah says you shall not commit adultery. But I say, if you think even lust toward another person, then you've already committed adultery. So very, very clearly, far apart from doing away with the Torah, he's making it honorable. Because what good would it be for somebody to say, oh, I'm righteous, I've never murdered, and yet in his mind he has hatred and hatred toward his brother? He would not be keeping the Torah honorable the way that Yahweh would want it to be. So that's why we clearly see that the Torah was never done away with by Yeshua. The opposite. He magnified it. He upheld it. Let's look at some other scriptures here that talk about the Messiah of Israel. The book of Micah in verse 2 tells us where the Messiah will be born. And you, Bethlehem Ephratah, Ephratah meaning fruitful, bountiful, being least among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me to become one ruling in Israel, and his goings forth have been of old from the days of eternity. So you can also believe today there's all kinds of heresies going around that Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, the creator, is a created being, or he didn't eternally exist. This scripture very clearly shows that that is false and a heresy, something that came from a man called Arius in the 4th century. But very clearly, Yeshua himself said he is the I Am, the eternal, the all-existent. And he existed with the Father forever. So this scripture here shows us not only that he existed forever. The word in the Hebrew is ha'olam, the strongest wording you could use for having no beginning and no end. The book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, when it talks about one of Yeshua's titles, Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, he also says, without father, without mother, having no beginning of life or end of days. He certainly is an eternal being that has been there with the Father forever. And the Father, one of the greatest scriptures that the Bible talks about, John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sins, right? Well, to love, there's got to be two. If there's only one, that's me. If there's two, then there's love. Then I can love. So even in the beginning, Bereshit in the Hebrew it's called, the very first words of the Bible, in the beginning Elohim created, and the word in the beginning is Bereshit. It starts with the bet prefix, showing the second letter of the alphabet, again showing the duality of Elohim. Two of them there. And we know that Yeshua was born in Bethlehem. What a great time when you see Matthew 2, when Yeshua had been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men arise from the east to Jerusalem. Who were these wise men? They're coming from Persia, the very land that the prophet Daniel was in. And who was Daniel? Daniel was a stargazer, right? He understood the movement of the constellations and the stars and was a very wise man. And where did he get it from? Numbers 21, with the prophecy of Balaam, he talks about this Messiah coming by this great star. All of ancient Israel knew about that star, and Daniel knew about that star. And for generations after Daniel died, the ones that he taught others, and they knew when the Messiah would be born by this special constellation, which they saw the day Yeshua was born. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, again, which is filled with wonderful messianic prophecies about the Messiah. It talks about in Isaiah 11, in verse 1, it says, "A shoot goes out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him, and he will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh." So again, this is talking about the Messiah. And very interesting, where it says a shoot goes forth from the stump of Jesse. So it's showing when the Messiah comes, right? Who will he be? He will be the son of King David. But here it doesn't even mention David. It mentions Jesse, the father of David. Why? Because it's showing when the Messiah comes, the kingdom of David will not be a big, gigantic tree that's powerful and mighty. But the kingdom of that time will be weakened. It will be lowered to just a stump of Jesse. Because when Jesse is around, David is not even king. He's a shepherd boy. So this is showing the lowly beginnings that the Messiah will come from when he's born. And very clearly we know that when Yeshua was born, there was no king over Israel at that time. And the dynasty and the house of David was taken down, bare root at that time. We also know that Yeshua from Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Yeshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we know that Yeshua definitely was a descendant of King David according to the prophecy that it says over here. If we also go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, a couple of pages back, another great prophecy that's here, Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty El, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There is no end to the increase of his government and the peace on the throne of David and his kingdom, to order it and to sustain it with justice and with righteousness from now and forevermore. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this." So what a great prophecy that we see here. And this prophecy tells us that the Messiah will be born a child. He is going to come. We know from Isaiah 7, just two chapters before this, what did it tell us? Isaiah 7 and verse 13, and he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it too little that you weary men? But will you also weary my Elohim? So Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and will bring forth a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Elohim is with us." So clearly, how on earth, if the Messiah is eternal, if he has no beginning and no end, like it says in Micah, how on earth can he be born of a woman? And how could he be born of a virgin, like it says here in Isaiah 7? And only until we get to the New Testament does it come to light that the Spirit of Yahweh came upon Mary in a pure sense and put his seed inside of her, and she bore the Messiah. We know there was no sexual relation or anything improper because she was a virgin. And when the child was born, she was still a virgin at that time. So all these prophecies come to light, coming back to Isaiah 9. That's why it says a child is born, a son is given, and the government is on his shoulders. So we see, although he's eternal creator, he would also come to this earth as a human being for some odd 32, 33 years and that. And look at the names that he's called. Wonderful Counselor. In the original Hebrew, this is Pele Yoetz. Pele is wonderful. Yoetz is counselor. He'll be Wonderful Counselor. And interesting that we see he's also called the Mighty El. In Hebrew, El Gibor. That would only be a term for Yahweh the Creator. The same as Wonderful Counselor. Pele Yoetz would never be a human being, would never be called that. So again, we see his eternal existence. And then we also see Everlasting Father, another term that would only be used for deity. And it really is, when you look at it, it's not that he is the Father. He's not Yahweh the Father. He's Yahweh the Son. But it's literally in Hebrew, the one who fathered everlasting life. He is the firstborn from the dead. So he is literally the father of eternal life by doing that. And without his sacrifice, there would be no eternal life. And then the last one, Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, another title that possibly could be to a human being, but here to the Creator. So three out of these four titles can only be to somebody who would be the Creator of the universe, to not Yahweh the Father, but Yahweh the Son, showing that even though he's born as a child, he is also the Almighty Creator of the universe. And it's amazing how fast time goes. And unfortunately, we are almost out of time here. Only have about another minute. So I think we will stop today, but we will continue this most wonderful subject in a part two in our next lesson, because it is so important and there's so many wonderful things about the Messiah of Israel. You can also go on our website, www.coyhwh.com, and you can go into the study section, and we have lesson 19 on who is the Messiah of Israel that goes over much of the information we're talking about today, and you could see for yourself. We also have hundreds of messages online, free downloads. The Bible clearly says, freely you receive, freely you give. So although we do welcome donations that come to us at P.O. Box 832, Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, everything we give is free, and we don't charge money for anything. So thank you for being with us today, and until next time, this is Don Esposito for Search the Scriptures.